For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pretty good. All right, 4:30, Chris and Jeff rolling on till 6. We'll get into the Hawks in a little bit and keep talking NFL draft, which gets underway tonight from, unfortunately, Chicago. You know, they got two New York teams with top 10 picks, but they moved that thing out of the Big Apple, so they're going to move it to Chicago now. We will... We'll let you hear what everyone wants to hear today, that Jets draft montage. But right now, former Georgia coach Jim Donnan joins us to get into some draft talk, too. And by the way, Coach Donnan also was at Marshall when Billy Donovan was there. Now he's going to be coaching Oklahoma City in the NBA. So,
Coach, what do you think about one of your proteges there? I know Billy was just a young coach when you were at Marshall. What do you think about him taking that Thunder job?
Well, you know, it's... good move for Billy from the standpoint of, you know, everything set for him there as far as the team for a couple of years. I don't know what's going to happen with Durant and Westbrook, but, you know, overall, you know, what a tremendous job he's done. You know, it was without question when we got him there at Marshall. There wasn't any doubt about the fact that he was a driven guy, great recruiter, and, you know, Coach Pitino put his stamp on him. And, you know, he's only 30 years old when he got there, and he was there for 2 years when I was there. And kind of ironic that the year he went to Florida and I came to Georgia, you know, like he came right at end of one basketball season, I came the next. But you know, I'm happy for Billy. You know, it's certainly going to be a challenging situation. But like I said to you yesterday, you know, he's been coveted by Kentucky for a long time. And if something happens up there and then Cal finally retires and goes to the pros, you know, it'll be a lot easier for him to take that Kentucky job. And that's certainly not something he's looking at, I'm sure. But he would definitely be in the realm of taking that job from the Thunder a lot easier than going from Florida.
Isn't that the thing about even college football coaches, the big name ones, there's really no risk in them trying professional football or pro basketball, because – like Chip Kelly at Philadelphia, he can go and make all these goofy moves he's making with the Eagles, knowing that, well, if they can him there, he can have any job he wants in college when he's done there, right?
Well, you're making a good point there, Chris. I think the difference here maybe for Billy and a lot of these coaches is he's going into an established situation. Usually when you take a job, it's because there's not a very good organization or they haven't been winning. Not a lot of these plum jobs come open for collegiate coaches, and I think in this case, you know, we're going to see Billy move right in there. He's got a established past with the general manager, and you know, like I said, very competitive guy. I mean, it's probably as competitive basketball coaches I've been around. I've been around a lot of them too, you know, and watch them coach. You know, I had a chance to coach at Carolina when Dean was there, and Norm Stewart at Missouri, obviously. You know, I was also with Billy Tubbs out there at OU, and there's a lot of good coaches, and there's different ways to skin a cat, but Billy, excellent coach.
Coach, Winston's going to go number one overall. I think that's pretty much a lock there. It's such a difficult scenario. Those quarterbacks are so coveted. This guy's got radioactive red flags out there. What's your take on all that?
Well, you know, the thing that all these shows that I'm on, and you guys do as good a job as anybody in the country here with just the way you guys break it down. But, you know, everybody's asking about in college, who's going to be the quarterback? Who's going to be your guy? And the same thing's true in the pros, and the same thing's true in high school. And, you know, you got to have a guy that can not only lead, but you got to have players that are going to follow that guy. You know, leadership's one thing, but you got to have followership. And I think in the case of Jameis, he's certainly got enough red flags that you're going to have to get, if you do take him, you're going to have to develop that leadership and followership with the team. He's got so much talent, though. I mean, you look what he did in the ACC, not losing the game till the last one, and he lost that because of all the turnovers. So I think he's just exceptional talent. But at the same time, you don't usually see two guys like that. I've never seen a guy in person that can run and throw as good. I've seen better passers and better runners than Mariota, but not a guy that can do both. He's a human torch, running, and he's a good, accurate passer. And I think the thing that all of us need to understand in looking at quarterbacks, accuracy is something that you're not going to develop. I mean, if you go to a little league game and see a pitcher or a junior high game, you either got accuracy or you don't. You're not going to develop that. You can get a stronger arm and you can get better release and all that, but it's very difficult to get accuracy. And this guy is the all-time efficiency leader in college football. I mean, he's had the most effective, efficient passing rating of any quarterback. So I think Mariota is a charm for anybody on the field and off.
So what would you do if you were the Titans then? Would you take him, or would you, you know, the idea is that maybe they're looking to shop that pick and they'll continue on with Zach Mettenberg in the short term?
You know, I like Zach. I think he's got a lot of upside, but you know, the bottom line is, what else is your team about? And they got to look at what can they get with this draft. And you know, I've been listening to you guys all week, and I agree with you. This is not a real top to bottom draft. There's 10 or 12 top first round draft picks, among which Todd Gurley to me is one. And I think after that, you know, you can get some of these guys with second round type ability later. But I think overall, they got to look at the picks hard. Phillip Rivers is certainly a guy that he's worked with before. The coach has been there with him, and you know, was out there at San Diego as a coordinator. But you know, I really can't project this stuff. I tell you, it's hard to understand what some of these teams are thinking. I thought you guys made a really good point. I don't know if it's you, Chris, or Jeff. You both make so many good ones talking about the teams that are drafting now. That's the same thing. You can go 10 years from now and probably be drafting again.
That's why I feel like I know just as much as they do.
Stubborn. They keep thinking they're going to throw up this brilliant pick. And, you know, one of the things I did early on as a coach, and I think you guys probably did the same thing as broadcasters, we had a guy at Florida State named Thomas that was a good corner. And, you know, we had a lot of people in there checking him for first-round type pick. And I got a chance to meet Dick Haley, who was the architect of the 19 of the steel curtain there for Pittsburgh. And he was a GM and the director of player pro personnel. And I talked to him about, you know, what he's looking for in players and all that. And then he said, look, if you want to come up here after spring practice, I'll go over and show you our database and way we do things and what we're looking for and the mental testing and all that. And I'm telling you, it was unbelievable how far ahead of the curve he was in the early 70s. And you saw that with the steel curtain that he developed. And I did the same thing with Ron Wolf when I was coaching here at Oklahoma, you know, when he was with the Raiders, and then he ended up with the general manager of the Green Bay Packers. And I'm not saying that from a standpoint of bragging about how smart I was to do that, but it really did help me in evaluating players. Because let me tell you something, there's a lot of people that can tell you who the good players are. What I want to make sure of is how many guys that somebody brings in as a recruiter for me that fails. Because if you're making mistakes in recruiting, you'll probably get your butt beat.
Well, heck, every one of that 2000 defense got drafted, right?
Yeah, they
every
did.
Every single one of the starters on it was drafted.
Yeah, too bad we couldn't win a couple more games with them. But, you know, the bottom line, we had some bad problems. But I think that's one thing that Coach Rick's done. You know, Georgia's got a lot of good players in the state, and if you get a majority of them, you're going to get so many of them that are going to get drafted. And the teams that are winning, you know, I saw something that's incredulous to me. Miami, a team that's just been unreal over the last few years, not winning on any kind of level, has not had a first-round draft choice since 2008.
Wow.
Now, the University of Miami, you go back to when they were really rolling there in 2001, 2002, all those great players, and they were kind of like we saw with Southern Cal when they were rolling. And that's what's happening in Miami, and all of a sudden Florida State's getting them now. They got a chance. If they get 10 guys drafted, they'll have 29 guys drafted in the last 3 years. Now, that's pretty strong.
Miami had 19 in that 01-02 period.
And that was like, and Portis wasn't even one.
Portis won one. Frank Gore wasn't
one. No, it was unbelievable. Coach, yeah. You know, one of the things you said when you talked about those pro personnel guys, I always liked Mike Lombardi. He helped build the last good Raiders team when Gruden was there. Then the next year they went to the Super Bowl, and he said something once that really hit home to me, and that goes back to what you're saying. And not only the guys who draft and sign good players, but talk about the bad ones too. And I think this is a huge key for any coach, team, any level. You have to have honest evaluation of your own personnel. And that's easier said than done, because a lot of times, hey, if this scout or this coach, hey, this is one of my guys, you're going to try and build things up. But you have to have honest evaluation of your own personnel. I think that's one of the first keys to success.
Big point there, and I think I saw Mike Lombardi with Coach Belichick when he was over here checking out some of the Georgia guys. I didn't get to talk to him. I said hello to Coach Belichick, but you know, he's a guy behind the scenes. You know, Bill recognized that he was on TV and doing some stuff, and he hired him back for the Patriots. But I think overall, one of the things that so many of these really good coaches do is during the fall camp, they'll bring in people. Ex-coaches, people that really don't have a dog in the fight, and they'll just have those guys walk around and tell them what they think, because all of the scouts and the GMs and all, they got a good idea about these guys because they're theirs now. They've drafted them, and they want them to do good, but you know, they'll just say to you, hey, what do you think about this guy, and how does he compare to the guys that these other teams have? And it's a very tough deal to keep a football team going now in professional football because of free agency. I mean, you develop a good second-team guy, and all of a sudden somebody offers him a lot of money.
All right, talking with former Georgia coach Jim Donnan. All right, Coach, the Falcons, pass rusher, pass rusher, pass rusher. Everyone seems to agree that's what they need, and there's a chance to get one at number 8. So between Fowler, Beasley, Ray, if you want to throw in even Bud Dupree from Kentucky, if, say, all four of them are there at number 8, which one would be your preference?
Well, I like Ray, but I really hate what happened to him. That was a bad move by him, and it's going to hurt him. But knowing his background, Andy Hill, a guy that I coached at Missouri, recruited him from Kansas City, Bishop Miege High School. And, he's got a lot of good positive qualities about him, and he's certainly a player that's been, a very dominating player in this league. People are going to jump up on down about Fowler, and, he certainly passes eyeball tests, but he didn't get a lot of sacks last year. But he's certainly a guy that I would say those two are way ahead of the other two as far as I'm concerned. And I hope the Falcons get it going. I mean, hey, we need the Falcons, the Hawks, the Braves. We need them to do something. That's what we all live around here. We want to see them do well. And the one thing I know, Travis Jones, for all the fans out there, played for Coach Goffin, was a graduate assistant for me. He's a D-line coach at Seattle. And he told me about the guy when I saw that they'd hired him. He said, this guy's a driven guy. He's a Pete Carroll disciple. He knows his system. He worked a little bit for down at Florida for a Muschamp, but I think we got a really good coach. I thought we had a good coach.
Yeah.
We just let a lot of good defensive guys go. I mean, our defense over at the Falcons just, Jed Clampett type. it was bad there the last couple of years.
Coach, when you were at Florida State, let's see, was Parcells there? Was Don James there with you too when you were a young coach down there?
Don had left and taken the Kent State job, but I was with Parcells. We were in the same office for 2 years, and got a lot of philosophy from Big Bill. And, one of the funniest stories I ever had, I've never told it in person, but I'm going to tell it out there. We were getting ready to play Florida. We were 5-0, and they were 5-0. And Florida State back then was just starting to get on the map. This was right after it was a girls' school for a long time. And I was recruiting down in the night before the game back then, you used to go recruit. And I had Tampa, and he had the Daytona Beach area. And he called me up about 1 o'clock at night because we were flying back the next morning. He said, if we win tomorrow, they're going to give every coach a swimming pool. I said, who is? He said, the Florida State Seminole Boosters. I said, man, that's unbelievable. We're both making about $15,000 a year. It's 1971. I couldn't wait to tell my wife. I said, hey, we're going to get us a swimming pool. And she said, you got to be kidding. The first two punts of the game, we dropped the ball inside our 10-yard line. We're behind 14-0, hadn't even touched the ball. And they go ahead and destroy us. And then after the game, we got to go. We got an open date. We got to go out and recruit in junior college. So Bill had this FSU carry-on bag. It had the initials on there. And we're out there talking to some of these people at the out at the Tallahassee airport. And the guy comes up and said, are you a Florida State coach? He said, no, I'm not. What's that FSU, Bill? What's that monogram on your back? He said, that's my name. I'm Fred Underwood. So we lost the pool, and he became Fred Underwood. That was it.
That'd be, if you ever run into Bill Parcells, call him Fred Underwood and see if he remembers that.
That's how quick it could go. We always say every coach out there, you're a great year away from having a statue.
They're all in the hot seat.
And you're a bad year away from having a moving van. So he goes from getting a free pool coach to being Fred Underwood.
Fred Underwood.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And, hey, let me tell you something. When you talk about that, every coach, too, is like some of these guys, they think that are flashing the pants. They're the kind of guys that will get you a raise, but they're also the kind of guys that will get you fired.
Yeah.
So, hey, you need those consistent players.
All right, Coach.
Coach, you're the best.
One more thing. Just the Bulldogs. Obviously, Gurley's the top Bulldog prospect, but who else do you like to potentially to get drafted? Who's going to be next to go?
Well, you know, one thing I want to say about Gurley, I think he's the most NFL-ready guy that we've had here since Champ Bailey, a dominating player. You know, I like Conley, even though, you know, he didn't get a lot of balls. I like his, potential. You know, I like our center. And, you know, we just don't have as many as we're getting ready to have. I think the recruiting's really picking up. And just want to say that I think hopefully they'll take Gurley, because anybody gets him, going to get a guy that can pound that line.
All right, Coach. Well, always good talking to you.
Thanks,
right,
Coach.
Thank you.
We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
All right, appreciate it.
All right. Fred Underwood.
That's one thing about Gurley is if you have a weak offensive line, he can make it look good.
Oh, yeah, because with a great back. Now, I know the NFL's a different animal.
Yeah.
But with a great back, all you have to do is create a stalemate. And how many runs he had, especially in 2012, I guarantee you he had 20 runs where another back on the team would have gotten 1 or 2 yards, and he got 9 to 12.
Right. I mean, even in the NFL, I mean, a back could probably handle that, which is why the Chargers are probably in play, because they don't have a good offensive line.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the Cardinals, I don't know much about the Cardinals, but I think they got like 3 quarterbacks hurt last year, so I'm guessing they have a sketchy O-line, too.
They need some help. All right. That Fred Underwood story's fantastic.
That is, it's Frank Underwood, but I was thinking Fred Underwood is the name of Kevin Spacey's character in House of Cards, but it's actually Frank Underwood, not Fred. But yeah, Fred Underwood. That's who Bill Parcells turned into when he became the GM of the Dolphins. He was Fred Underwood again.
Hey, by the way, we were watching Fletch. Did you notice this, that when he gets up at the Shriners Gallery, I guess it is, and the guy they're honoring is Fred Dorfman. Flounder's name was Kent Dorfman, and his older brother's name was Fred.
Was Fred?
That was a direct, you know, unless he's real closet case, like Fred.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was another
nice little inside.
Little reference there.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.